Blog Talk Radio.
Sisters, oh my God, are we really here, ladies? Are we really here?
Yes, we are.
Yes, they are. Yes, I got nervous. I want everyone to know that tonight is really putting a damper on our Christmas in July show. We were really working hard towards that. Oh my God, what a day. I'm glad we're here. I'm glad we finally got through all on the same night. I mean, I don't know what happened after midnight yesterday, but it has really been a challenge. How are you, ladies? Happy New Year. Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year. Doing great. Happy. Yourself?
That's awesome. Well, you know, I mean, I'm okay. A little cranky, a little thrown off my game, but why not? It's my norm.
I get it.
I'm telling you. You know, it used to be I could count on the radio to be a staple in my life. You know, it was always the same. Now it's like, yeah, okay. So now when I need help, I have to call Pam and say, Pam, look, you got to keep me straight on this. And she goes, oh, God, she's back. She's back again. And she does crazy. I give her credit. I do. So, listen, ladies, this is what we have tonight is we have a mishmash. Not really. Actually, I think most all of our poems tonight are on the pre-write contest that I ran prior to Christmas. And is that all I did, Dan? Yeah, I think that's all it is. It's all from the pre-write contest. So we have a whole pocket full of goodies, and hopefully things will go well. So, yes. Now, Pam, I see a little something. Maybe we might be invested in.
Oh, okay. Yep. There we go. Welcome, area code 562. You're on the air. Who are we speaking to, please?
It's Puddles.
Oh, hello.
Hey, Puddles. Glad you could join us.
Hi, Puddles.
Good to have you. Well, are we all up for some, I know, everybody's probably so sick of Christmas, and here we are. Are we all ready for some Christmas poetry? Yes.
Absolutely.
Those people are like winding down, not us. We're still pushing. Oh, God.
Ho, ho, ho.
Exactly. I'm sure I'm being called worse than that in some people's minds. Just because we keep shoving Christmas. Oh, my God. So, it's a crazy day. It's a crazy, crazy day. Puddles, it's great to have you with us. I'm not sure if we're going to have any gentlemen call in, because usually it's... But wait, I missed my whole spiel, didn't I, Pam? I've been away too long.
I think we all have.
Yeah. So how did it go now? Let me think. Welcome to Twisted Tuesdays with the Twisted Sisters, and you never know, maybe a Twisted Mister or two. See, I knew I didn't say that. Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm such a creature of habit, and then I get out of my groove. So I guess we'll get started, because I got a bunch on the board. And I guess we will, Pam, I'm going to have you start us off. What did I just do? Oh, my God, this is going to be a long night if it's going to go like this. Just wanted to share that with everyone. Okay. Pam, I'm going to have you read the one by Teresa Streshenkov. Tap one on the board, and we'll take it from there. Awesome.
Ugly Sweater Jumper Party by Teresa Streshenkov. So this Christmas, I am going to an ugly sweater party. There were green shirts with Rudolph on front. There also were sweaters that lit up like Christmas trees. Others had pictures of snowmen and elves, and there was also an elf on the shelf. Lots of Christmas songs played as we drank the night away and then said, Merry Christmas to all, and have a safe, happy new year. And home.
Nice read, Pam. Nice read. That was short and to the point. That's what I say about that poem. And Naomi, do you want to start us off?
Yeah, sure. What? Whoa. The aliens are invading the airlines. Oh, my gracious. Wow. It's going crazy. It is settling down now. I'm going to talk calmer and less loud, I guess. Yeah, this reminds me of my son. You know, he's the most, what can you call him? He was very calm boy, and he's always, you know, so politically correct, and so, you know, doesn't, you know, he's really, really straight in his ways, you know, and so he was the last person I'd imagine wearing a Christmas sweater, yeah. You know, and because he's so serious all the time, and this summer he showed up with his girlfriend, and they both had matching Christmas sweaters and the ugliest ones you'd ever see in. So this really reminded me of that. And, I did it. You know, the ugly sweater party. Oh, my gracious. Great ride and just made me smile. So bravo, Teresa Streshenkov. Wonderful ride.
Nice comment, Naomi. And Puddles, how about you?
Well, I liked the simplicity. Very straightforward. So often you read poems and it looks like they threw a thesaurus against the wall and called it a poem. So I really like how easy it is to absorb her message. I guess that's all I really have to say about it. It's refreshingly available.
Nice comment. And Pam, how about you?
Yeah, I thought this was a nice brevity on the idea of a ugly Christmas sweater party and how much fun it can be. And I like how it has the observational tone with the different kinds of sweaters that were made or purchased. And, it does remind me of one year when I actually did that craft with my kids. We bought plain sweaters and all kinds of stuff like those puff balls and all kinds of fun stuff to make ugly Christmas sweaters. And it was a fun project to do. So nice write and very well done.
Right. Yeah. And I, you know, as I said, as soon as I took the comments, you know, it was nicely done by Teresa and short and well said. It really was. It said just enough to get the point across, and it gave you a smile because we all know what those ugly Christmas sweaters are like. Sometimes I really like them. Sometimes not so much. But, you know, that's the humor of them. You know, something to make people smile, and I think that's the best part of it. So nice job, Teresa, and thanks for sharing with us.
Okay. I guess I'll give this next one a run so that way I can kind of keep us in some semblance of order. See if I can get lost at some point. So I'm pretty good at that. This is called An Ode to Love and Grief. I don't know. By Rebecca Swanson. A glint upon Christmas crimson ornaments reminds me of a time I cannot now bear to see. For the jingle bells ringing peace reminds me of the smiles falling, failing to cease. And the cold wintry holiday frost reminds me of the child lost. So as a foggy yuletide dawn, I recognize a sibling gone. And I see that this sleigh horse carriage tells the tale of a parted marriage. Perhaps it's the fragrant poinsettias and clutch that chills the past parental touch. How strange that love hums a carol of night, but still twinkles in the memory of its light. Someday such precious moments will be our hope. However, now we deck the halls and learn to cope. Together we sit, all gathered in woe, beside the glistening Christmas snow. End poem. And Puddles, do you want to start us off?
Yeah, I thought, I actually read this earlier and it really hit home. There are so many people that struggle at Christmas and it's just hard. You can get lost in all the carols and all the glitz and all the merrymaking when internally you just have this horrible pain going on. And it was written beautifully. I mean, wonderful rhyme, wonderful flow. I particularly loved how strange that love hums a carol at night, but still twinkles in the memory of its light. Someday such precious moments will be our hope. However, now we deck the halls and learn to cope. I think it will resonate with so many people. I think it's brilliant. I really enjoyed it.
Absolutely. Nice comment. And Pam, how about you?
Yeah, I thought this had beautiful and emotive lines on what it's like to deal with grief during the holidays and the experience of loss. And I like how she brings in a lot of the common things about Christmas, the decorations, the things that you usually enjoy, and wrap it around the whole idea of the sorrow that's being dealt with. Really just some amazing lines. I do really like, and I see that the sleigh horse carriage tells the tale of a parted marriage. Perhaps it's the fragrant poinsettias and clutch that chills the past parental touch. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Mm-hmm. Nice comment. Naomi, how about you?
Oh, absolutely. This is really, you know, touching poem and very emotive poem. Lines that I think, like Puddle said, I think a lot of people can relate to this poem. And I like what she had to say, you know, that some people, you know, they struggle through the holidays, you know, because it's a time where they remember grief, you know, in this case, reminds me of a child loss, tells the tales of a parted marriage. Some people, they really struggle through Christmas time, but, you know, you're taken over with all this caroling and all this happiness and all this, and inside, like Pat has already said, you're almost dying there inside. So, yeah, I think this is really relatable to a lot of people and wonderfully, wonderfully well written. Beautiful poem.
Absolutely. Great comments. Oh, now I'm hearing myself. This can't be good. Oh, Lord. Okay, I thought this was beautifully penned piece. You know, Christmas is not always cheerful for all. That, you know, the pains of loss can really run deep at this time of year, and I thought it was very well done. So thank you so much, Rebecca Swanson, for sharing this with us. Well-stated piece. Nice job. Okay. So now the next one. Oh, I'm going to have to hang up and call back. But not before I ask Naomi to read this next piece, which is by Brian T. Duffield. Hi, Robbie. I hear you're on the board, or I see you're on the board. This is called Octava, Real Ripening Abundance at Christmas, by Brian T. Duffield. So whenever you're ready, Naomi.
Octava, Real Ripening Abundance at Christmas. Finally, the scene was set with sheer aplomb. A weekend rendezvous with adults away was anticipated, but our nerves stayed calm, determined not to allow fear to hold sway. Our hands held firmly, still sweating palm to palm, clinging to the shadows we pursued our way, but walked taciturn into the house alone, with baroque music setting apt a tune. A chilled drizzling was a drink of mutual choice, sipping keenly, its bubbles spiraled upward. Each word was expressed in an inflected voice, which increased as they back steered us both wayward. Yet we communed together and did rejoice as our gestures were mirrored in one accord. The winter streets outside were firmly at bay as lovers' rituals our movements convey. The moonlight silvered and tinged each naked limb as you shed your fine silken gown to the floor. Our breathing locked in arms did soon overbrim, but oh, with a full release that yearns forevermore. Like a spawning salmon that will ever swim, veered us towards new shores to explore. Our lips neared their goal, but never reached a touch. Yet tied to a wheel, our hands could not never clutch. Then we'd harvest fruit to feed our appetite as lovers, rich in taste, indulge their hunger after our banquet. Gorging senses all night, we peeled figs, tasting exposed flesh together. But succulently, we basked in the limelight, relishing distilled cherry-tinted treasures. The leaf then penetrated the moist-ripened core. Though in still life, we'd freeze all that you adore. Their carmine plump flesh was full-bodied and bare, like rare sherbet, and could stain lips with crimson. We tasted the sharp juices of our affair that glistened brightly and most vermilion. However, could this night be a dangerous snare, trapping overt lovers into extinction? But spawned, oozing figs spring from sugared pollen to infuse a room with incense uncommon. Yet green apples plump with ripeness to their core perfume the night air as they bask in art's pose. Painted with sweet odors in baskets galore, like a draft sketch that an artist would compose. As we gleaners picking windfall from the floor, who after labor enjoy a deep repose, a drunken rabble fracturing evening air as we feast succulent fruit beyond compare. The ripened grapes, cooling tongue and puckered lips, are in jet tones nudging to the compost. Then we gaze outside between our vintage sips, to the streets peppered in gray mist, but warm within. Where now our hushed words are a poetic script written by Buddha on a rare medallion. Across the red brick streets we turn and depart towards the southern moor we followed our chart. End poem.
Are you on mute, Dean?
I am. I think I forgot that I was put on mute. Silly me.
Oh.
Yes. Anyway, so I thought that was a beautiful poem and a great read, Naomi. So, Pam, do you want to start us off?
Absolutely, yes. Wonderful read there, Naomi. And what absolutely beautiful and delicious imagery all the way through. Really a wonderful flow to this poem. And I really like how it celebrates love and life with the tasting of wine and other divine things and, you know, and foods, and paints a picture of the fruit gathered for the experience. And I really like how he uses his words to paint a picture and to bring us into the experience, and to really, it's a treat for all the senses. I especially like their carmine plump flesh was full-bodied and bare like rare sherbet that could stain lips with crimson. We tasted the sharp juices of our affair that glistened brightly in moist vermilion. However, could this night be a dangerous snare, trapping overt lovers into extinction, but spawned oozing figs, spring form, sugared pollen, to infuse the room with incense uncommon. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Nice comment, Pam. And Puddles, how about you?
Yeah, if I read this correctly, these are like youngins because they had to wait for the adults to be away. So it may, in fact, be first fruits for both of them, which would add a whole new layer of sensuality and expectation and excitement. And it was definitely well written. What I really liked was then we'd harvest fruit to feed our appetite. And he uses that in the middle of the poem where he's already done a really good job weaving a basket full of fruit and a vat full of wine into his narration. And then he just says, then we'd harvest fruit to feed our appetite as lovers rich in taste indulge their hunger. After our banquet, gorging senses all night, we peeled figs, tasting exposed flesh together. It just flows off the tongue. It's one of those poems where, you know, you might start reading it silently to yourself, but, you know, by the middle of the first stanza, you find yourself speaking it out loud because it just calls to be read aloud. It's really well done.
Yeah, great comment. And Naomi, how about you?
Yeah, very eloquent, right, isn't it? Very, very beautiful and very classic, has a classy feeling to it. And I was reading all along and, you know, my mind was going really, you know, really sensual. It is a very, very sensual poem. You know, Pam talks about wine tasting. Yeah, I get that. My mind was completely elsewhere. But, just the moonlight silvered and tinged each naked limb as you shed your fine silken gown up to the floor. Our breathing locked in arms did soon overbrim. And, you know, I just stayed there, I guess. But, you know, yeah, you know, the way he brings in the fruit into this, all the beautiful fruit, like the apples and the grapes. And, yeah, you know, everything that is in the wine tasting. And it could be either, you know, wine tasting or, you know, a metaphor, sensual metaphor for the wine tasting, or the wine tasting for sensuality, or, you know, both all mixed in together. But anyway, either way, it's a very beautiful poem, so superbly well worded. And like Puddle said, it has a beautiful, beautiful flow to the whole entire write. So wonderfully well done.
Nice comments, ladies. Yeah, this was a beautiful poem by Brian. I kind of looked a little bit. He won a gold in this, in a contest, to an image prompt, which was fruit on a table. And I think that he handled it so well. It was beautiful. His imagery was incredible. And a wonderful nod to love and desire and a great take on that image prompt. And it's funny because out of all the stances, right, Naomi and I picked the same one. The moonlight silvered and tinged each naked limb as you shed your fine silken gown to the floor. Our breathing, locked in arms, did soon overbrim with the full release that yearns forevermore. Like a spawning salmon that will ever swim, you steered us towards new shores to explore. Our lips neared their goal, but never reached a touch. Yet tied to the wheel, our hands could never clutch. It was just a lovely, lovely piece and a wonderful job there, Brian. Thank you so much for sharing with us tonight. Really well done. Yep, yep. Okay, now what do I have? I have... okay, Puddles, this next piece I have is called Lead Not Into Winter by Errant Panther. And I'll put this one up. And if you'd be so kind as to give it a read.
I will do that.
Nice.
Lead Not Into Winter by Errant Panther. Age clings heavy to weakening boughs, like snowdrifts yet to settle, as December becomes veiled in shadows of white. The voice of earth thinning frozen in time, though time itself still marches silently forward without so much as a whisper of grief for that which lies in stasis below. And should the winds loosen those fine threads of freedom kept dormant within this frigid scene, let it flower like the first flush of a blooming rose. Let it become a beacon of salvation when all hope appears lost. Let it stand in solitary with pride, but lead it not back into the winter of my heart.
Wonderful read. Nice job. And Pam, do you want to start us off on this one?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, beautiful read there, Barb. I really love the imagery and metaphors in this. I thought it really was a beautiful and powerful write. That speaks to me on the hope that blooms from the winter of the heart. And I like how it can be taken as being about winter literally, but it can be also like a spiritual or emotional winter. I really thought this was great all the way through, but my favorite part is this, the voice of earth seeming frozen in time. Through time, though time itself still marches silently forward without so much as a whisper of grief for that which lays in stasis below. I like how that speaks on the idea of those things and those times that are forgotten. So wonderful, right, and very well done.
Nice comment, Pam. And Naomi, how about you?
Yeah, beautifully, beautifully written. And, it's great that you can take this both ways, either literally or metaphorically. And, I really like, when he talks about the let it flower like the first flush of a blooming rose. Let it become a beacon of salvation when all hope appears lost. Let it stand in solidarity with pride. But lead it not back into the winter of my heart. That is just amazing, amazing writing, amazing lines there, written with a lot of heart, I think. Very beautiful, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Puddles, what did you think?
I can only echo everything y'all have already said.
Yep.
I really love that. It's like a mirror image that reflects both an internal dormancy that I believe is hoping for a spring bloom, and yet at the same time she seems a little bit wary of that, but lead it not back into the winter of my heart. It's like, yeah, I want that rose to bloom, but man, that winter's coming, and that rose is going to die again. I'm not sure I want that. Or if you look at it just as a winter scene, so spectacularly described. I love the thought of dormancy and of things waiting just beneath the surface for that spring warmth to have them rise up from the ground. Exceptional. I really, really enjoyed this one.
Excellent. Great comment. I thought this was a wonderful piece penned. Beautiful thoughts were conveyed. And I see here that it was actually inspired by a part of a poem by Hilaire Belloc called December. And it says, for now, December, full of aged care, comes in upon the year and weakly grieves, mumbling his lost desires and his despair. And with mad trembling hand still interweaves the dank sere flower stalks tangled in his hair, while round about him whirl the rotten leaves. You know, that's there's some strong lines in that poem, but I think that they're definitely met and challenged by Errant Panthers. It's a wonderful, wonderful piece penned here. But let it flower like the first flush of a blooming rose. Let it become a beacon of salvation. When all hope appears lost, let it stand in solidarity with pride. But lead it not back into the winter of my heart. Wonderful ending lines in this. And it's just, I don't know, it's just wonderfully written. So thank you so much, Errant Panthers, for sharing with us. And excellent job. Excellent job. Okay. Now, a couple clicks and I'll be right back. There we go. We all know I'm a little slow on those last few taps. Okay, so let me see now.
Oh, before we move on to the next one, I would like to welcome area code 513 to the show. You're on the air. Who are we speaking to, please?
Hello, ladies. This is Jody.
Hi, Jody. Welcome to the party.
How's everybody?
Glad to meet you.
So far, so good. Right.
Good. So far, hope everybody has a great holiday.
Yeah. Well, it's been a challenging holiday. I hope you had one as well.
Yeah, for sure.
We've been dancing around the radio for weeks now, so it's been challenging. But I think outside of the radio, everything's been good. I haven't heard anyone complaining.
Challenges are part of life, right?
Yeah. Oh, amen. You know, it's just another hurdle that we all jump. That's all.
That's it.
Yep. Yep. So let me see. Well, since you're here, Jody, I got something for you to read. How you like
right.
that? So you just showed up.
Sounds
in time.
Great.
This is called
fire, right?
This is called Warmth by Anton Antrud. So whenever
right.
you're ready.
All right. This is Warmth. Come in. Take a seat. We don't have much, but it is what we have. We are happy to share water, beer, chocolate, and cheese, whatever is there. So come on in. Rest your weary self and toast the coming year. End poem.
Nice read, Jody. Nice read. And let me see. Well, Pam, I'm going to start with you again. That's just
You know me. Any party that involves beer, chocolate, and cheese, I mean, forget the water. I am there. this was absolutely a lovely and tasty brevity on good foods and good company that's enjoyed during the holidays. And I do not only like the foods mentioned, but I like that end line too. Rest your weary self and toast the coming year. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Absolutely. And Naomi, how about you? Nice comment, Pam.
Yeah, me too. The beer, the chocolate, the cheese. Oh, the cheese. The cheese. I really like cheese, like all kinds of cheese, except for blue cheese. I can't stand blue cheese, but all the rest of kind of cheese. But, you know, what I really like about this poem is come in, take a seat. We don't have much, but it is what we have. we are happy to share. And, you know, I think that encompasses all the what is Christmas and the Christmas spirit of giving during the Christmas time. You know, even if you don't have much, be willing to share it with others, and, you know, and you're happier for it. You know, make a party out of it, even if you don't have much. Invite people in and share. The sharing is what Christmas is all about. So wonderful, simple little poem, and it's beautiful in all its simplicity. So a brilliant little brevity.
Absolutely. And Puddles, how about you?
I really loved it. It calls back to a simpler time. It calls back to a more social time. I think we have lost the front porch culture where everyone says hi as they're walking down the street. Come on in, grab a beer. In this case, take your hat off, take your boots off, have a seat. This just brings it back to life, and I wish more people would buy into this way of living. And what I really like about this particular poem and the way it was presented is it says we don't have much, and yet the last line, they still want to toast to the coming year. I just love everything about this.
Amen. Amen. And Jody, what did you think?
Yeah, I agree with everyone's comments. It gives you a sense of contentment and camaraderie, right? And very simplistic in its nature. Definitely embracing the moments and celebrating the approaching year. I thought I did a lot with a little there. I definitely love the beer part. Definitely would take one of those. But yeah, like Puddle said, people don't have that front porch camaraderie anymore. I can remember my grandfather's World War II vet. He was known as hello neighbor in the neighborhood. Anybody passed, that's what he said. He'd sit on his porch and, hello neighbor. He even did an article in the local newspaper about it. So I thought that was pretty cool. But yeah, it'd be nice to get back to those times.
Yeah.
We in the little town that we live in, you know, it's only population of about 7,000 people. But there's this old guy, and I think he's a war veteran, but he sits out there with his long white beard in his rocking chair on his front porch, which happens to be actually on his front lawn by the curb, and he just waves to all the cars going by. It just makes me smile every time I drive by. We need more of them.
Yeah, amen. Amen. No, I remember when I was growing up, you know, you never went down the street without waving and saying hello to everybody, you know, everybody on your block.
Right.
And even if they weren't really sure who you were, they figured it out, you know. And now you wave to somebody going down the street and they look at you like, who the heck are you? What's your problem, you know? What's the issue here? It's the strangest thing to me. It's like,
somebody waves
you know.
To you and you look back, well, they're like, who are you waving to? Couldn't be me.
Yeah, right. They look around like, who is sad, you know? Yeah, it's pretty funny. But, yeah, I think that, and it's sad that this is lost, you know. Now at the holidays, everybody's worried about buy. What's for sale? Who wants this? What do you want? What do you need? You know, and all that crazy stuff. But it's a much simpler thing than that. You know, this is really the foundation of Christmas in my mind. You know, come in, take a seat. We don't have much, but it is what we have. You know, we're happy to share, you know. And I think
it's really interesting. When you just said bye, I was thinking BYE.
Oh,
like
no.
Like people
no.
can hardly wait for the company to go.
No, it's so commercialized. It's just so much commercialism with Christmas nowadays. You know, they don't, all this is lost, you know, to a good extent. You know, it's not, you know, you don't have to live in an affluent neighborhood. You don't have to have the best of everything, you know, to show. You know, what you need is like that kindness in your heart that you can share with one another. Makes the world a different place. But excellent poem, Anton answered. And thanks for sharing with us. Great job. Yeah. Hey, Pam, the next one is for you. We're a little late, though, because it's called December 26th. And it's by Room Keys. That's how you got it. No, I'm only kidding.
All right. This is December 26th by Room Keys. Rubbing clean your favorite holiday glass, the hand-blown one with green trees, the one you drank from all week, is a therapy in soapy warm water with busy hands. Cleaning the grounds from where we French pressed morning coffees, I fear I'll rinse away every trace of you. Sufjan sings about sorrow, about departing, about loss. Shall I tear my heart out now? I stack the dishes on the counter to dry as things find again their place. Your place is too far away these days. My hands tremble a little. Something inside me shudders down deep, something visceral, somewhere deeper than my conscience mind sobs. It is an old world ache, an old wound that never healed. Life rolled over in the night and pulled the covers from my heart. A million starlings took wing from these branches, leaving me lonesome in the quiet, in the empty. Everything else is not enough and has about it a certain gloom. It will be days before I can look into your room. Music sets the mood, not the lyrics, but the sadness. End poem.
Wow. Nice read, Pam. Nice read. And Naomi, that's going to bring me to you.
Oh, what a wonderful read that was, Pam. And, you know, what a wonderful write. Very heartfelt write. And, you know, written in simple language. And, you know, the lines are so touching. And because they're so authentic. Life rolled over in the night and pulled the covers from my heart. Oh, my gracious. Isn't that just amazingly touching, that line? You know, a million starlings took wings from these branches, leaving me lonesome in the quiet and the empty. Everything else is not enough and has about it a certain gloom. You know, and then to say that music sets the mood, not the lyrics, but the sadness. So, so true, you know, about music, you know. You know, if you want to know somebody, send them music, they say, you know, tells them a lot about a person. And, you know, you remember certain events through music, too, and the mood that you feel. You know, music creates a lot of memories. And I think it's well used in this poem, the mention of music. And but this is just amazing. You know, just from the beginning also, the way that she's just there and, you know, she's stacking the dishes on the counter to dry as things find their place. Your place is too far away these days. And her hands tremble. You know, there's just something so, like I said, so authentic, so real, so raw, so that you just feel this poem in your guts, and it's just so well written. It's amazing, amazing writing.
Absolutely. Yeah, great comment, Naomi. And Puddles, how about you?
I love this poem. I love poems where you can read your own story between the lines. And Room Keys has, is it a woman? She doesn't, there's no name, so we don't know if it's a girl or a guy, but Room Keys sets the stage but leaves enough room for us to put our own characters onto the stage. So when I was listening to this being read, I was thinking about my adult children coming home for a visit. They just live so far away, and the house really does just echo in such a lonely way when they're gone. Someone else could read into this a lover who doesn't live close anymore, and they're just trying to keep the relationship together. You know, that's why I think this is just such an incredibly well-penned piece, because you can see yourself inside of it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Great comment. And Jody, how about you?
Yeah, I agree with you, what you guys touched on about this poem. I think everybody can relate to, you know, dealing with emotions through dishes, right? You know, heartbreak, you got the music on, you're scrubbing away, or if you got an argument, you're scrubbing away. Yeah, I think a lot of emotions get settled over the sink, right? But what I found is no matter who leaves you in life, dishes will always be there for you, right? But
that's right.
But yeah, no, I do think she did take an ordinary act of cleaning and, you know, turn it into a reflection on loss and longing. Yeah, it's very melancholy, you know, the reference when she added the song in there. That's just another layer of that, the sense of sorrow and separation. And then, yeah, I thought she set the mood beautifully towards the end, capturing the heart weighed down by a quiet and enduring grief. So, yeah, I thought she did a very good job. I thought it all the way through is very sad poem, but I like sad poems. So, yeah, well done.
Absolutely. Great comments, everybody. Yeah, I thought this was just beautifully written, sad and well expressed. This one here, this is where I picked it up. My hands tremble a little. Something inside me shudders down deep, something visceral. Somewhere deeper than my conscious mind sobs. It is an old world ache, an old wound that never healed. Life rolled over in the night and pulled the covers from my heart. A million starlings took wing from their branches, leaving me lonesome in the quiet, in the empty. Everything else is not enough and has about it a certain gloom. You know, and it makes me want to listen to this song. It makes me want to listen to the embedded song on the poem. But tomorrow, not tonight. Excuse me. Oh, my goodness gracious. Yeah, excellent work. And thank you so, so much for sharing with us, Room Keys. Great job. Now, the next one. Okay, I'm going to read this one. I'm going to save that one for Jody. After saying that, watch, they'll all be male pieces from here forward, and then I'll be like, well, I'll save that one too, and I'll save that one too. This one's called A Christmas Poem by Lily the Poet. So let me decide that it likes to keep reducing itself. So, Christmas Poem by Lily the Poet. It is Christmas. Snow glitters on the sun, thick flakes falling on my face. Even I can't pretend that you are with me. I am carrying love in my heart because nobody should be alone on that special day. I enjoy the smell of Christmas trees, and they remind me that we have something in common. Both of us are surrounded with loving people, with family and friends. Both of us are putting up decorations and singing songs. My hands catch fast flakes, and my laugh announces the church bells can start ringing. On this occasion, we have the same thoughts, and we dream the same dreams. We are happy. I watch the yellow stars, and look, one of them is giving me a twinkle, and I give mine to her. I know that is our star. Merry Christmas, dear. End poem. Sweet poem. Okay. Naomi, I'm going to start with you.
Oops, you're repeating yourself again.
I'm telling you.
And me too, I guess. Echo again in the room. Yeah, this is a sweet poem. Oh, my gracious, you know. Makes me think of two people that love each other that are separated. But, you know, it's like, you know, it made me think right away, you know, when you look at the sun or the moon or the stars, you know, you're looking at the same stars as me. So you feel a little bit closer to that person. That's what it made me think of. But in this poem, you know, she comes in, she relates it to the Christmas period, the Christmas time, Christmas holidays. You know, you're surrounded, you're enjoying the smell of the Christmas tree, and you know, so am I. You're surrounded with loving people, with family and friends,
And both of us are putting up decorations and singing songs. So, you know, in that way, by sharing the same things, doing the same things and sharing those same actions and, you know, being in that same period of time, the celebration of the holidays, you feel closer to that person that's dear to you. So, yeah, I really like this a lot, and a very sweet, tender poem and beautifully written.
Nice comment, Naomi. And Puddles, how about you?
Well, I love a poem that makes me want to know more about the story. And as I reread and reread the last few lines, I want to know what those yellow stars are. I watch the yellow stars, and look, one of them is giving me a twinkle, and I give mine to her. I know that is our star. Merry Christmas, dear. What is that star? Like, I'm scrolling. Where's the rest of the poem? So I'm really intrigued by that, and I really hope that Lily the poet will write in, and you can share on the website what that is. I'm really intrigued. I just thought it was overall very well written. It really does show this bond that Lily has with this mysterious other person, and I also really... it really resonated with me when she started talking about the church bells. My hands catch the fast flakes, and my laugh announces that church bells can start ringing. It's like she's found a joy in her heart that she can actually hear those bells and find joy like many of the people around her do. There's so much mystery embedded in this poem. And yet it also leaks out a familiarity and a warmth. I find it very intriguing. I really enjoyed it.
It's very nice. Okay. Not sure why we are still echoing, but we are echoing. And Jody, how about you?
Yeah, I thought she painted a beautiful picture of the Christmas scene, you know, that she has with her loved ones, the way she uses imagery of the decorating, the singing songs, you know, Christmas tree smell. I thought she'd done a great job. And she has a little bit of magic in there with the twinkling stars. I think it was just a touching expression of Christmas and the connections that we have with our people. I thought she did a very good job. It flowed nicely, I thought. It was very enjoyable to listen to.
Nice comment, Jody. And Pam, how about you?
I like the festiveness of this. You know, it's very festive, wonderful imagery. I get a couple different thoughts on it. I get, first of all, the thought of a long-distance relationship and the things that bind those people together. Or maybe also the idea of two people who are so vastly different, and yet they're finding that common ground. I really thought this was a wonderful write, and I particularly like both of us are putting up decorations and singing songs. My hands catch fast flakes, and my laugh announces that church bells can start ringing on this occasion. We have the same thoughts and we dream the same dreams. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Nice comment, Pam. Yeah, I thought this was a nicely penned piece and well expressed. I actually thought, you know, of someone in a distant romance as well, Pam. I shouldn't say romance, but thoughts for someone distant that is, you know, that they loved and care for. And I picked up this. On this occasion, we have the same thoughts and we dream the same dreams. We are happy. I want the yellow stars and look one of them is giving me a twinkle. And I give mine to her. I know that that is our star. Merry Christmas, dear. You know, sometimes when you're in a long distance kind of relationship or if you're separated from someone that you love, you know, we keep in mind that we all look at the same sky, you know, and that twinkle from the star, you know, it kind of struck me as a wink. You know, I give mine to her. I know that is our star. And it's a romantic way of looking at the sky and the star. And the Merry Christmas, dear, at the end, I thought was just so sweet and so so loving, just kind and loving. You know, this doesn't have to be a romance necessarily, but it definitely is someone who loves someone else. And the distance makes it different to deal with. So very nicely done, Lily the poet, and thank you so much for sharing with us. I really appreciate it. I almost deleted that whole comment. I would have been really mad. Okay, let's see what I got. That was Misa. That means Naomi is up next. Naomi. Oh, Naomi. I have one here.
Yeah.
By Ruby2446. And it
oh,
is.
Oh, my.
It is called Granny's Jumper. Someone ever
Okay. I love Ruby. Love Ruby's work. This is an honor. Granny's Jumper. Being Being allocated to a granny, I've heard from other jumpers that grannies can be awesome fun. So I hope I get one that lives up to my message of rocking around the Christmas tree. So it's Christmas morn. I'm teened with some velvet jeans. This granny has got class. Everyone comes to her house for dinner scrumptious. I've had a close-up of all the culinary delights in the kitchen. Glass of cherry and all were merry. She laughed so much during the happy day I thought my threads might unravel. But no, I enjoyed it all and remained happily intact. End poem.
Nice read, Naomi. Well done. Well done. Okay. Puddles, do you want to start us off? Puddles.
I muted myself. I just, the most amazing wisdoms were lost for eternity. I'm so sorry. Naomi, you're the best teacher.
Yeah.
It's contagious. I just didn't know it.
I'm so sorry. No, what I said was Ruby sounds like a lot of fun. I kind of want to hang out with her. I'm a new grandma myself, got a 3-4-year-old grandson, but I love how she opens, been allocated to a granny. I've heard from other jumpers that grannies can be awesome fun. I love that she's just determined to be that rare species of granny that I can just see her getting down on the floor, playing blocks, rolling balls, in the kitchen, putting the plate of cookies down to the grandchild who's not supposed to have any sweets before dinner. She just sounds awesome, and she really sets a really fun stage for the holiday and does it in a delightful way with just the way her words flow and the images that she sets. Great poem.
Nice. Very nice. And Jody, how about you?
Yeah, this is a very heartwarming poem. Totally took me back to my grandma's house on Christmas morning. I was fortunate enough to grow up right behind her. So
Nice. Every
Christmas morning, we'd be right there. She'd have hot cocoa on the gas stove and her velvet jeans. Like, that totally was my grandma. And, it was awesome. At first place I went every Christmas morning was her house. And, she gave it. That was a charming touch with the jeans and the culinary delights. Grandma's always good for that, right? That's awesome. I'm still back in that place, so I'm smiling. I appreciate that. I love when a poem does that for me.
Yeah.
Very, very well done.
Nice comment. And Pam, how about you?
Oh, I thought this was a delightful write with wonderful personification of a Christmas sweater that finds the joy of being worn by one awesome granny. And it was great all the way through, but it was that second stanza that really got my attention. So it's Christmas morn, I teamed with some velvet jeans. This granny has got class. Everyone comes to her house for dinner. Scrumptious, I've had a close-up of all the culinary delight in the kitchen. And I'm sorry, and poem. I don't know why I went to say that. Geez. But, wonderful.
You know what I'm talking in comment now.
That's right, in comment, Pam.
In comment.
We've been away too long, Pam. That's what that is. We've been away too long. All that is. Oh, my God. Too funny. Okay, and Naomi, how about you?
Yeah, I really like this. You know, like Pam said, you know, just the idea, it's so unique and creative of becoming the jumper on the granny and, you know, talking from the jumper's perspective, you know, of his day passed with this wonderful grandmother and, you know, coming, you know, the way the jumper talks at the end. You know, she laughed so much during the happy day, I thought my threads might unravel. But no, I enjoyed it all and remained happily intact. You know, so the jumper didn't unravel and it remained happily intact. And, you know, it made me think of just Christmas with my mom and, you know, how she plays around with the kids. And, yeah, and then, you know, she's always smiling and always happy and, yeah, brings back great memories. Wonderful, fun a poem that makes you really feel fuzzy and happy inside. So great job, Ruby.
Absolutely. Yeah, I thought this was a great piece here. I much enjoyed the fun and creativity in the piece. And, of course, I went down to the very end. A glass of sherry and all were merry. She laughed so much during the happy day, I thought my threads might unravel. But no, I enjoyed it all and remained happily intact. I'm with Pam. I thought she did a great job personifying the sweater. And that's a firsthand account, I would believe. So well done and much enjoyable, Rudy. Ruby. Right now I got Rudy. Much enjoyable. No. Much enjoyed. Yeah, I can talk. Anyway, excellent piece, and I enjoyed it very much. Okay. And, yeah. Naomi read that one. So Puddles, I have the next one for you. This is called Holiday Cheer by Forgotten Dream. Whenever you're ready. Puddles, are you on mute? Or am I on mute? Let me look.
Oh, my gosh. The problem is I'm getting all these text messages which are going ping, ping.
Oh.
So, yeah. Let me start again. I'm sorry. Holiday Cheer by Forgotten Dream. Spices cling to crackling air as velvet eyes dance like flickering candles. Her poinsettia lips bloom, revealing snowy mistletoe teeth. Wrapping arms around her cashmere body, my mouth meets hers in a gingerbread kiss. End poem.
Nice. Nice read. Okay. And Jody, it brings me to you first.
Yeah. Obviously, I went right for the metaphor of the gingerbread kiss. I thought that added a sweet and playful touch to the poem. Obviously, captures the essence of a holiday romance, which is always good because you got so much energy anyway of happiness, and then you got romance on top of that. That's always cheerful. Very affectionate. Yeah, I thought she did a beautiful job with the vivid imagery. Sensory details were on point and such a small poem. I thought that was impressive. Very well mm-hmm. done.
Absolutely. Great comment. And Pam, how about you?
This is a beautiful and romantic, sensual brevity that's a delight for all the senses. And, of course, it's difficult to separate one part from the other, but I'll say I especially like the imagery of the beginning lines with spices cling to crackling air as velvet eyes dance like flickering candles. wonderful lines and very well done.
Absolutely. And Naomi, how about you?
Yeah, you know, I'm right there with all the comments so far. You know, this is a really beautiful, romantic, sensual poem. Captures the, you know, it includes all the holidays, so much of the holiday as beautiful metaphors. The way she did that, you know, with the poinsettia, or I don't know how to pronounce that. I know what it is, it's plant, but and the mistletoe teeth and the candles and the spices, you know, it like Pam said, it's just a sensory delight, you know, it tickles all our senses, you know, from the smell to the sight to the, you know, everything. So just wonderful, wonderful, like Forgotten Dream can write. Wonderful brevity.
Absolutely. Good comment. And Puddles, how about you?
Yeah, I don't think I have anything to add. I think Pam and Naomi nailed it. It's just the combination of the celebration of Christmas terms and in a romance, and it was very well combined.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. I mean, it was a wonderful job. It's wonderful imagery. I thought it was a sweet brevity. And I picked up the second stanza. I mean, I could have just copied and pasted the whole thing, right, Naomi? It just has all the right notes for in the poem itself. But wrapping arms around her cashmere body, my mouth meets hers in a gingerbread kiss. I thought that was a sweet way to end the poem. So really well done. And thank you so much, Forgotten Dreams, for sharing with us. Wonderful job here. Absolutely. So let me see now. Now as for, okay, wait, I have to grab this poem. Okay. And Jody, this next one. Oh, I already had that. Yeah, I'm okay. This is called Father Christmas, Old Man Time by Overseer. So if you'd be so kind as to read that for us, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Father Christmas, Old Man Time. Christmas Eve in the moonlight, and the stars are shining bright. As we sleep by the fireside, and dreams of days gone by. Oh, then comes Christmas morning with its treasures of the night, for outside the snow is falling, just like it should at Christmas time. So have a Merry Christmas, and with all the presents we could share, I hope the season brings you a very happy new year. Yea, on Christmas morning, all the bells are gonna chime, as the station's playing all your favorite songs and mine. They play for Father Christmas, then they play for Old Man Time, for a new day's dawning and a firework of light. Yea, a new day's dawning as they play for Auld Lang Syne. So welcome, Father Christmas. How you doing, Old Man Time? And thank you, Baby New Year, for you're the greatest gift of life. Now the new year started, so wipe the slate out of your eyes, and for the year departed, just reflect a little while. Or you can take it with you, or you can't leave it behind. But whatever you do, I'm more than sure you'll be all right. So welcome, Father Christmas. How you doing, Old Man Time? And thank you, Baby New Year, for you're the greatest gift of life. And Thomas.
Nice. I think that was for you, Pam.
I think I'm getting everyone confused.
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, you got to pick on those you care about.
Oh,
okay, Pam, you're first up to comment, so get them, Pam.
All right. Well, great read there, Jody. I really enjoyed this. It's a wonderful song. I don't know if Overseer does any recording or singing himself, but I think it would have been great to hear this actually sung as it was meant to be, because obviously I think it's not a parody, but a song that he wrote himself. But a wonderful lyrical quality, great lyrics on the idea of reflecting back on the holiday season and appreciating the blessings of life. And I do especially like that chorus. So welcome, Father Christmas. How you doing, old man time? And thank you, baby New Year, for you're the greatest gift of life. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Nice comment, Pam. And Naomi, how about you?
This was wonderful. I thought Jody was going to take off singing there for a while.
Well, we never know.
You don't want me singing.
And yeah, me too. The chorus really got me. Like, there's everything in that chorus, you know. The celebration of Christmas and nostalgic of the old times, and then looking towards the future as a New Year's coming in and saying that it's the greatest gift of life. So I think that the chorus encompasses, you know, everything, you know, celebration of Christmas, nostalgia of the old time, you know, and then the future. So the past, the present, the future. And I really thought that this was amazingly well written, the flow, the rhyme of it, a wonderful song. And me too, I would have liked to hear it sang in the poet's voice, you know. Put a guitar to that and make it an old country song. Yeah. Christmas, new Christmas song.
There you go.
Great, right.
There you go. Okay, and Puddles, how about you?
Hey, I really enjoyed it. It actually has, I think, perfect meter. I think that's why it sounded so sing-songy, because he really got the beats down to perfection, and I always enjoy when someone has a craft, that much of a gift in their writing. What really stuck out for me was the looking forward to the new year. And the two stanzas, now the new year started, so wipe the sleep out of your eyes, and for the year departed, just reflect a little while. For you can take it with you, or you can leave it all behind, but whatever you do, I'm more than sure you'll be all right. I love that. Every one of us have that choice, and it's just so beautifully put in front of us to sit and contemplate for a while. You've got a choice, people. You can take all the good stuff, you can bring all the bad stuff, or you can start fresh. And I love when questions are posed and power is given to the reader. I liked it.
Nice comment. And Jody, how about you?
Yeah, I thought it was very, obviously, a beautiful rhythmic poem. It's captured in the spirit of Christmas and the transitioning into the new year. Great imagery throughout it. Sleeping by the fireside, creates a nostalgic and joyful atmosphere for the reader. I really enjoyed that. I thought he expressed his gratitude for the new year coming, and the repeating chorus, it enhanced the celebratory tone that he had. All in all, it was a very heartwarming ode to the holidays. I thought it could have definitely been a song. It flowed very nicely as I read it. I may have fumbled wherever he was. I'm not sure exactly what that was. Odd Lang Syne? Maybe I could have just said that, but I'm not sure what Syne is. I have to look that up. Maybe you guys, that Christmas thing?
I think it was a typo. Because Auld Lang Syne is S-Y-N-E. I think it was just
that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I thought he did a great job, for sure. I'd like to read more of his work.
Absolutely. Yeah. Nice comments, everybody. Yeah, I thought it was, a great piece penned. I enjoyed the lyrics throughout, and I thought the repeat chorus was good. I liked the change up at the very end. So welcome, Father Christmas. How you doing, old man time? And thank you, baby New Year, for the greatest gift of life. I thought that was kind of a sweet way to incorporate the New Year into it. So nicely done. And, yeah, much enjoyed this one. For sure, it was a silver winner in two contests. So that was pretty excellent. So absolutely an enjoyable piece. So now, where am I going? I'm going to Pam, am I back to you already? Wow.
All right. Well, just to let you know, Robbie has joined us. So welcome, Robbie. Glad you could
be here.
Hey,
Robbie.
Hello, folks. How goes?
Pretty good.
Hi, Robbie.
Hey, Robbie.
Well, it's good to have you. Maybe since you're here, I have a piece for you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you know, the idle hands are a devil's workshop. That's what they told me. So since you just got here, we wouldn't want to give you any time to get in trouble. This one is called Tree Faint It Ain't by Oak Blue 34. So whenever you're ready.
Tree Faint It Ain't. Oh, that's an interesting title. Let's see what we got here. Tree Faint. That picture, oh my God, I love it. Just so everybody knows, the picture says, thank goodness you're home. The Christmas tree fainted. And there's a dog, and, well, he's acting like that wasn't his fault. So this is what the tree, so this is what the poem has. So, okay, here we go with Tree Fainted Ain't. I'm going to have to try not to giggle here. Please believe me, it's not my fault. The sad tree assault. I was out. There we go. I'm already laughing. I was outside peeing when tree went careening. Knocked over, splat, by Ralphie the cat. Was chasing a squirrel around in the whirl. Up the branches they went without my consent. The tree was this way when I came in from play. I'm totally ashamed. Don't want to be blamed. It wasn't my fault, this bad tree assault. Arf, arf. I hope he doesn't manage my some poetic license to the arf, arf. I figure he's a dog, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Naomi, do you want to start us off? Too funny.
Yeah, that was a wonderful read, Robbie. I was on mute because I was laughing so bad. And, you know, I love the formatting of the poem. You know, he formatted it right in the form of a Christmas tree. And, you know, is this Oak Blue. It made me think of a Lawrence, you know, when he has his cat and stories. But yeah, this is wonderful by Oak Blue. And, yeah, he's known for his funny poems, too. And I like the title, Ralphie the Cat Was Chasing a Squirrel Around in a Whirl. Up the branches they went without my consent. No consent from the dog. And the tree was this way when I came in from play. I'm totally ashamed. Don't want to be blamed. It wasn't my fault. This bad tree assault. Yeah, really well written and... you know, really funny, and it brought me a smile and a laugh. So wonderfully, wonderfully written poem.
Excellent comment. And Puddles, how about you?
Yeah. I think Naomi and I are twins, and we just don't know it, because she always picks the same lines that I would have highlighted. I enjoyed the whole thing, and I love how it was paired with that image. I love the read. I love the personification, not only in words, but in voice. It was just actually, it made me smile. I didn't mute myself, but I was chuckling inside. And I just thought it was a really nice use of playful words along with the playful image that they were trying to impart.
Absolutely. Great comment. And Jody, that brings me to you.
Yeah, very playful and humorous poem she painted with, you know, the picture itself. I mean, that's just awesome. That dog looking at you like, man, it wasn't me. You know, he just had that look like, can I still get a treat? Like, no, not today. But yeah, I thought the lighthearted tone, you know, it created an entertaining narrative. Very delightful and amusing read. Yeah, I thought she did a great job with charm and the wit throughout the poem. Overall, it's very enjoyable. I was smiling, too, while he was reading that. He nailed it right off the get-go. He started laughing like, oh, that's going to be that kind of poem. It sure was. I thought it was a great read and great write.
good comment. And Pam, how about you?
Oh, this was funny. It was a great shape poem with delightful and clever humor, speaking in the voice of a sweet and loving troublemaker, and was definitely very well done.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Robbie, you read it, but what did you think of the poem? I thought it was great.
Well, I liked that it fulfilled what I thought that it would make. That would make me laugh, because when it said I was outside peeing, I just lost it. And I think that I'm glad that he blamed Ralphie the cat, because, I mean, come on, if there's a poem about a dog blaming something on somebody else, a cat's got to be involved, right?
Absolutely.
So, I'm glad that he included that. And I particularly like that, and where it says that he was chasing around, yeah, that Ralphie the cat was chasing a squirrel around in the world. Because squirrels are very much known to be troublemakers too. And I like the little selection of kind of classic other animals that are known to be troublemakers or difficult in some sort of way. So I don't know if that was intended, but it definitely worked well. And the look on the dog's face works so well with the poem. It wasn't my fault. Yep. Oh, I didn't do anything. Just delightful. And the poem is in the shape of a tree.
Yep.
Yes.
Good stuff.
The poem is in the shape of a tree. Oh, wow. I didn't see that at first. How did I not see that? when you read the poem, sometimes you just get caught up in the words and you don't see the what's going on outside of it. But yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that was nice that he shaped it in the shape of a tree like that too. So yeah, it was a delight to read, and I'm glad that was the first poem that I was asked to read. That was a delightful little intro into my reading for tonight's show.
It was good timing for calling in.
Yeah.
Let's see now. I thought this was a great piece. I loved the humor in it. And it was an excellent take on that image, because, you know, when you look at it, yeah, he summed it up pretty well. The dog's looking like, it really wasn't me. You know, I like the squirrel. I like how it had a squirrel in it, Pam. Did you notice that?
I did.
The squirrel were running around in the world.
Those fat squirrels, eh, Pam?
mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely. But they're not getting much of it. Well, they're actually getting a really good workout this winter, especially in Wisconsin, I hear. But yeah, I enjoyed the rhyme and meter of the poem, and I thought it was great. And you know, Robbie, I wish you'd use that dog voice from the beginning down. So if we have time at the end, maybe we'll have you reread it with your Bow Wow voice. Good stuff.
Bow Wow voice?
Oh, yeah, your Bow Wow voice. Absolutely. Absolutely. Wasn't me. Oh, gosh. Oh. And Pam, I have this next one for you. It's called Ode to the Cool Winter by Jesna Sajan. So whenever you're ready.
Oh, what becomes of thee, the withering leaves, falling swiftly, tendering to thy rest, scattering light brown, darkening thine brazen greaves? The earth blends with thine demise, mourning, crispy, crunching, and curling for the human to move into your funeral pyre burning. For your beauty is divine, the aura of Newman, for thine beauty is intertwined with the shades of brunette, blonde, red, the hairs of human. Wintry whispers clad to thine subtle grades, the lines of thine palm reckons to limitation. For the season solemn, the end of thine jades, rest, O divine love of the trees of tribulation, for you will triumph again on their mansion when the sun returns to the spring's jubilation. End poem.
Okay, nice read, Pam, nice read. And
Robbie is going to bring me to you first.
Well, when I especially was hearing towards the end of this poem, it really reminded me of the sort of changing attitude of some aspects of winter that I have. I'll never like shoveling the snow and that in the ice cold temperatures we get just because of where I am. It gets particularly cold, especially when like polar vortexes and that come. But I'm coming to have more of an appreciation for the cycle of the seasons. What I'm working towards now, medium term, is where the winter really is like a season where I kind of just rejuvenate and kind of like reorder things and figure out, okay, what is it that I'm going to do different, you know, this coming year and that. And I'm coming to appreciate more some of the beauty of winter. I love astronomy. I've loved it my whole life. And with that season, you have so much more time to look at the stars and it's much clearer. And so I can appreciate that. And like, I can appreciate more like a still wintry night where like the snow is glistening under the lights and that. So very much this poem helped me to get in touch with that. And it kind of got me, emotional a little bit because I almost forgot that that's where I'm starting to come toward. And to have a poem remind me of that was actually quite touching. So,
nice comment, Robbie. And Naomi, how about you?
Yeah, well, you know, we're both from Canada, me and Robbie, and you know, I get where he's coming from because you know I live in Quebec here, and it gets really cold, freezing cold here, and yeah, but there is, you know, a stillness in the air, and I think you know the planet just needs the winter, you know, to rejuvenate itself and. You know, it brings like this freshness to the earth and this sense of stillness and quiet and peacefulness. And, you know, I think she touches a lot on that in this poem. I really like the lines where she says, for your beauty is divine, the aura of Newman. For thine beauty is intertwined with the shades of brunette, blonde, red, and hairs of human. And, you know, I really liked all the poem, the flow of it, and, you know, the classy tone of it, and it's eloquent, and it's pure beauty of the whole piece. So very well done.
Nice comment. And Puddles, how about you?
Oh, Puddles had to go.
Oh, okay. No problemo. And Jody, how about you?
Yeah, I was zeroing in on the lines that Naomi just read. For thy beauty is intertwined with the shades of brunette, blonde, red, the hairs of human. The way, it's just very impressive. It was so subtle how, you know, she intertwined the human attributes to the leaves. But yet it's such a profound connection when you think about it as, you know, connecting between the natural world and our own existence. I thought that was very, very well written. But yeah, you go on and on. It's the anticipation of winter and the promise of spring. Very well expressed in this poem. I thought she did a wonderful job. Very well done.
Great comment. Great comment. MPM, I'm back to you.
Yeah, this had such wonderful imagery. Really was an excellent ode, honoring the beauty and the breath of winter. And I really like how it speaks to me on the idea that it's a time of rest. So wonderful write and very well done.
Nice. Nice comment. Yeah, I thought it was nicely penned. And I want to thank Jesna for entering the contest. Look, there's a bow wow wow in the room. Okay, Naomi, I have this next one for you. This is called The Night Before Christmas, a romantic version by Heavenly Angel.
Oh, okay. The Night Before Christmas, a romantic version. 'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through our home, all was still and peacefully quiet, no internet, television, or phone. Our stockings were hung above the fireplace with care, where within a romantic fire was burning and shades of cherry apple red there. Soon we'd be snuggled together in tender embrace, while visions of sugar plum romance teased contented smiles upon our face. Outside our home, snowflakes were softly falling, swirling downward on a winter wind, as soon Santa came would come calling. No need of finery or glitz, no special gifts for Santa to bring, for we have each other this Christmas, and so we now have everything. End poem.
Nice read, Naomi. And that will bring me to Jody for the first comment.
Yeah, very heartwarming and cozy poem. Romantic fires, cherry apple red. She had emphasized on the true gifts of Christmas. Santa's arrival was a delightful touch. And it is, Christmas is about sharing it with each other. It's just a genuine and timeless sentiment about, just that, sharing Christmas together. That's all you need. I thought she definitely encapsulated all that beauty that comes with Christmas, other than just the snow and trees and presents. Yeah, very well done.
Absolutely. Great comment. And Pam, how about you?
Oh, this is a beautiful and heartfelt write. Great rhyme and flow. I like how it speaks on a romantic Christmas Eve. Wonderful take on a classic. And beautifully written all the way through, but I do especially like that end stanza. No need of finery or glitz, no special gifts for Santa to bring, for we have each other this Christmas. And so we now have everything. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Amen. I'm with you on that. And Robbie, how about you?
Well, this is one of those poems that has the kind of concept that I would like to try myself, because I'm a romantic at heart. I used to actually write a lot of love and sensual poetry. Mm-hmm. And it's nice to see a poem that kind of had like the romantic tone in it, and like with a soft sort of tone to it. And so, cause that is a nice, it was a very nice combination of like the gentleness of a good Christmas with the, like the gentleness and joy of a quiet romance. And I remember this reminds me of what I was saying one or two shows before, that the romance and Christmas seem to have like a certain sort of a link, because you're cozy and winter, or actually I think I was speaking on that winter has that, I can't remember, but it just in general, like in winter and in Christmas, people are cozying up together by the fire and they're spending quiet time with each other away from everyone else, so it naturally lends itself to that sort of a sentiment. And so it's nice to see it expressed gently and fondly in a poem like this.
Mm-hmm. Nice comment. And Naomi, what do you have to say?
Yeah, well, it's so beautiful when you find that special someone that you don't need the television, you don't need the internet, you don't need the phone. You just need, each other and, just to cuddle up together, and you're just happy with each other. And that loving sentiment is all through this poem, with just the romanticism of the whole poem. It's just so tender, so sweet, and so loving. And written to 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, which is one of my favorite poems. Probably one of the only poems that I can recite the whole darn thing by heart, as probably many of you can. But I just loved, you know, how the rhythm, the rhyme, I respected it, 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. And beautifully, beautifully written, the whole entire piece.
Absolutely. Let's see now. Let me see. I think that was everybody, so I think it's back to me. You know, I thought this was just beautifully written. I thought the sentiments in it were wonderful. And I took it from outside our home, snowflakes were softly falling, swirling downward on a winter wind, and soon Santa would be calling. No need for finery or glitz, no special gifts for Santa to bring, for we have each other this Christmas. And so we now have everything. I thought she tied it up nicely there. And sweet piece, very sweet piece. So thank you, Heavenly Angel, for entering the contest. And great job, for real. So let me see. We only have, I think, we have just enough to fill in the last 25 minutes. So, Jody, that brings me to you. And this piece is called Silver Bells by T. Perry, 898. And they put it up, and there we go, whenever you're ready.
All right, Silver Bells. Can nobody hear the music or the silver bells of Jesus hidden just beneath the glamour of the Christmas pantomime? Could it be the world's forgotten of the sacrifice he tendered? He, an innocent, was crucified and tortured for his crime. Greed and avarice are blooming. Simple blessings have been scuppled. Truth has simply been discarded. Hate is hoisted on display. Seems the devil's in the detail, and the world's no longer listening. For it's now the voice of commerce that we will willingly obey. End poem.
Well read. Pam, that's going to bring me to you for a first comment.
Yeah, this is just a brilliant and a powerful write on how the true meaning of Christmas has been lost beneath all the greed and desires of human nature. And both stanzas, I mean, are absolutely stunning. Great rhyme and flow, amazing imagery. But I like how the first one introduces us to the idea that of Christ paying for our sin and the gift offered up. And the second stanza offers up that idea that humanity has gotten to the point that during the holidays, it's all about me, and, you know, the greed and avarice are blooming. Simple blessings have been skewered. Truth has simply been discarded. Hate is hoisted on display. Excellent write and very well done.
Absolutely. Robbie, how about you?
Well, I focused the most on the last stanza because of what it talks about with what's going on in the world, and especially where it says it seems the devil's in the detail. It kind of reminds me of a song by Linkin Park, Nobody's Listening. And the lyrics in that song focus on how, you know, you're screaming out everything that's wrong, but everybody's just like, whatevs. And especially where it says, you know, it's now the voice of commerce that we willingly obey. Oh, I work retail, and I work it during Christmas, and a lot of times, you know, you do see that. That's why I'm glad, like, they have they've spread out the Boxing Day sale to like a week. They did that during COVID, and I think maybe they're keeping that because they're like, you'd have stampede, like literal stampede, you know, and I think everybody was saying it was just too stressful, you know, to compress it on that one day. So it kind of reminds me of that a little bit just because that's my experience with working that sector during the holidays. Overall the poem had, you know, good message and was well written, but it was for me, especially the second stanza that I had focused on.
Yep. I can see that. I can see why. Naomi, how about you?
Yeah, well, what I really liked about this is, you know, the juxtaposition of the two stanzas, you know, that brings out, that highlights each other. You know, the first stanza is all about the coming of Jesus and the sacrifice of Jesus and, you know, all that we should be thinking about and all the spirituality and all the pureness there. And then the second stanza is all about, you know, the devil in work, you know. So the juxtaposition of the two stanzas together are really, really amazing. And I think this is what makes the poem so wonderful and so powerful. Like Pam said, you know, very powerful poem, just really, really punches you in the gut. Mm-hmm. And yeah, very well done.
Absolutely. Great comment. Wow. Okay, and how about you, Jody?
No, you're good. yeah, he definitely delves into the somber reflection of how Christmas has become so commercialized. You know, the imagery that he put in there, unnoticed, you know, silver bells of Jesus and the forgotten sacrifice, you know, to the disconnect from the true meaning of the season, is concerning, you know, for the overshadowing of the simplicity, for the greed and the hate of it all. I thought it was very thought-provoking, you know, reminding us to focus on, you know, the values that guide our celebrations. So I thought you did a very good job getting that point across. Very well done.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have to say, you know, I the contrast, you know, in the first and second stanza, the first one is where it all started and the reason for the season, let's be real, how it all, you know, became. And then, you know, the end, he really nailed it. I thought he did a great job with it. You know, I had to grab the second stanza and put it in my comment to him because it's sad, but it's true. It's very sad and it's very true. So T. Perry, I thank you as always for entering the contest. Wonderful job and nicely done. So thanks a lot and appreciate it. And okay, here's what I'm going to do. Robbie, I'm going to ask you to read the next one. It's called Christmas is Near. Yes, it's almost next Christmas. Took us that long to read these poems.
Amen.
And this one is by Tom Farrow. So,
okay.
Be so kind.
Okay, Christmas is near. Christmas is drawing close, my dear. It's just around the corner. Loved ones we hope to be near. About friends we'll feel a bit fonder. A time for excitement and joy for children of all sizes and ages. Young ones to get a new toy. Older ones will spend all their wages. A special time for all of the world. A day to slow down its fast pace. A wonderful day for peace to unfurl. It's good for the human race. Whatever your plans for this season, for my friends and family as well, search in your heart for a reason to love others as much as yourself. Merry Christmas.
Amen.
And that is Christmas is Near.
Absolutely. From his lips to God's ears. Excellent piece. So let me see. Naomi, you want to start us off?
Yeah, you know, just a wonderful poem. So well written, beautiful rhythm and rhyme. And, you know, it touches on all those beautiful sentiments that, you know, are there at the holidays, you know, loving each other, the magic of Christmas, the excitement, the joy. And, you know, just, you know, drawing everyone that you love close and being together and loving each other and loving each other as much as you love yourself. Oh, my gracious, I wish that would be true. Wouldn't the world mm-hmm. be a better place?
Amen.
And, yeah, so wonderful, wonderful right by Tom Farrell. Wonderful right.
Absolutely. And Jody, how about you?
Yeah, I thought he captured the warmth of Christmas. You know, it's almost like polar opposite of the last poem we wrote. But, you know, still he put the same message out there, you know, of love and selflessness that needs to be expressed during the holiday season. Yeah, emphasis on slowing down the pace and embracing peace. You know, that's the essence of Christmas. It truly is. And the last, he was absolutely right as well. So, you know, mm-hmm. it's kind of a, we just get to the point where we just blend it together. I think that
yeah.
would definitely be a very special way to celebrate the holiday season for sure. But yeah, I enjoyed that too. I thought it had a good flow to it. Very well done. You know, I mean, kids getting toys, that's the staple of Christmas. But I tell you, I don't get in Christmas spirit until I see a kid's face light up, I promise you. Once I do, then I'm back into it. You know what I mean? I thought you did a great job. Great job.
Great comment. And Pam, how about you?
Yeah, it's always good to see a new name and a new face. And I do hope that Tom is inspired to write for more of our shows. This really
Amen.
Has wonderful heartfelt lines on the importance of slowing down, the joy and the love that should be shared during Christmas time. And I really liked it all the way through, but it's the second stanza that I particularly liked. A time for excitement and joy for children of all size and ages, young ones to get a new toy, ones older will spend all their wages. There's a nice touch of humor within that. So wonderful, right, and very well done.
Absolutely. And Robbie, how about you?
Well, I had some extra thoughts that I maybe wouldn't have had in other seasons with this one, because Christmas this year, for various reasons, felt like kind of out of pace, I guess you could say, just in regards to like the weather, like we didn't get snow till a couple days ago that stuck. So like it's only like on January 1st that we had a real snow that's actually stuck. And
right.
then we had our like shows delayed because of the all the glitches. So like we're catching up on all that now. And like with these poems, and then also like again like in the retail, like where I work, I think they're trying to get rid of more spring stuff. Like stuff isn't selling as much because everything's so expensive. So
yeah.
it's so we already have coolers, summer coolers and everything out there, because they're really trying to get rid of them, eh? So it kind of gave me an extra spin with all those events to this poem, or just made me think of that part of things, of like how things can change from one year to another about the immediacy of Christmas. Like there's other years where, you know, you got a big snowstorm right before Christmas and everything's kind of in line and everything feels really Christmassy. And then there's other years like this year where for various reasons, I remember that at work today, someone was saying, it didn't feel like Christmas this year. So it made me think about how that changes from year to year.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. There's something, when the weather's not right and things just don't settle, you know, something's missing. You know, it just seems odd. I can understand that. Yes, I thought this was a wonderfully penned piece, and it was great thoughts and imagery expressed. I especially liked the last two stanzas of that, and I loved how you said Merry Christmas at the end, because it really, really gave people food for thought, something to, you know, get right with. I mean, that's the way I can say it. So well done, Tom Farrell, and thank you for sharing with us. Excellent contribution to the contest. Now, Naomi, I'm coming to you. Ready?
Oh, okay.
This is Santa's Cocoa and Cookies. by Betty Page.
Oh, Betty Page. Santa's cocoa and cookies. Swirling in his cup, sweet caramel hot cocoa decorated with hearts. Frosty snow, white cream, looks like teardrops in a pond, ripples, reflections. Santa's cheerful smile drops in mini marshmallows, watches as they melt. Sits right by the fire, Mrs. Claus brings him cookies, all his favorite kind. Every Christmas Eve, their family tradition with all their elves. Christmas warm and bright, wrapping presents through the night, placing them beneath the trees. Toy soldiers, cute dolls, Lionel train sets, spin round, painted mini towns. All kinds of toys made like a Christmas time parade soon will fly away. Santa and his sleigh, Rudolph and all his reindeer, riding through blue skies, prancing on rooftops, sliding down chimneys with toys, silently in homes, decorating trees, filling up all the stockings, all kinds of treasures, sweet mint candy canes, sets up Lionel trains, toys for good girls and boys, magical starlight guiding them around the world, giving gifts of hope. Wonderful kindness, hearts illuminate with love on this Christmas day. End poem.
Nice read, Naomi. And Jody, you want to start us off?
Yeah, I definitely enjoyed that. You know, it painted a vivid and delightful picture of, you know, Christmas traditions. You know, I thought it had great imagery with the hot cocoa, frosted cream, and I thought she did a great job of capturing the spirit of joy and anticipation Christmas. And I love Christmas cookies when my kid was young. Santa always got to eat a couple of them. I thought the verses about, you know, the soldiers and the dolls and the train set, you know, it really created a magical atmosphere of a Christmas time parade, right? Overall, I thought she did a great job, you know, conveying the warmth of the holiday season, for sure. It's very well done. It's nice to listen to that read. Naomi, you did a great job reading that one.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And Pam, how about you?
Oh, this was absolutely wonderful. Let me make sure. Yep, I am off mute. Okay. Absolutely delicious imagery, fun and captivating. I really like how she paints a picture of Santa and Mrs. Claus on Christmas Eve and those classic Christmas traditions. I really like where it says Santa's cheerful smile drops in mini marshmallows, watches as they melt, sits right by the fire. Mrs. Claus brings him cookies, all his favorite kind. Every Christmas Eve, their family tradition with all of their elves. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. And Robbie, how about you?
Well, this to me very much had all of the classical elements of a Christmas, you know, a traditional Christmas poem, with the kinds of foods that it presents and all the classic Christmas notions of, you know, good little boys and girls getting toys and that. And I thought it was brought out well by, I think you have a good voice for these kinds of poems, Naomi. So when hearing it in your voice really helped to bring out the tone of it. And
Thank you.
You bet. And with each stanza here, it's almost not quite a poem in itself, but each stanza really stands out. Each one really hits home on a very traditional Christmas element. Like a frosty snow, white cream, you have in one stanza. Swirling cup, sweet caramel, hot cocoa, and now I want cocoa, by the way. No, I'm like insanely craving hot chocolate, damn it. So, I don't have any. There's that. I enjoyed that for like how each single stanza had something that was very, very much an element, a traditional element of Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Great comment, Robbie. And Naomi, how about you?
Yeah, well, you know, I think, you know, a lot has been said. You know, everybody had wonderful comments, by the way. And, yeah, I agree, you know, that this is a, this could be another, like another 'Twas the Night Before Christmas almost, because, you know, it does have all those elements of a traditional Christmas, you know, like everybody was saying, you know, from the reindeers to Mrs. Claus to the elves to you know, the good girls and boys, even the train set and the village, you know, that you see that people, a lot of people that really, really decorate for Christmas, you know, they have those underneath their trees, you know, they have the whole Christmas village and the train going through it. Mm-hmm. And yeah, even the stockings and everything. And, you know, she ends it with that wonderful message of love at the end there, wonderful kind nights. Kindness, hearts illuminate with love on this Christmas day. So, you know, what a beautiful 575 there to end just a wonderful, wonderful poem.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I thought this was a great job by Betty, hitting on all those childhood memories of Christmas, at least in this old-timer's mind. And nice nostalgic imagery. You don't see a whole lot of train sets anymore like we used to back in when I was a kid. You know, everybody had a train set up at Christmas when I was a kid. And just a whole lot of magical imagery. You know, Santa and Mrs. Claus. Now the world is trying to get away from all of that because, you know, God forbid we should have, you know, mom and dad not get credit for things. Let me say it that way. Anyway. I'm going to shut up now because I like the poem by Betty, and I think she did a fine job. So thank you, Miss Betty. Appreciate the entry. And now, last but not least, Jody, I'm going to ask you to read this piece. It's called Christmas Wreath by Robert Lust. And whenever you're ready.
All right. Christmas Wreath. I am the family Christmas wreath. I make an appearance once a year. When I am hung on the front door, friends will know they're welcome here. Today, I am rather elderly. I was first mounted eons ago. I have seen my master's hair change from inky black to pristine snow. There were children who used to touch me, sadly. They do not live here anymore. I know I'll see them on Christmas Day when they will caress me as before. End poem.
Sweet, sweet poem. Pam, do you want to start us off on this one?
This really is a sweet poem. It's a wonderful rite spoken in the voice of a Christmas wreath that has witnessed change throughout the passing of time in the family that it belongs to. And I really liked all three stanzas, but especially the second one. Today I am rather elderly. I was first mounted eons ago. I have seen my master's hair change from inky black to pristine snow. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Absolutely. And Robbie, how about you?
Well, it was quite a unique personification. I've never come across or thought about personification of like a wreath like that, but I really like that sort of thing because I kind of go with animism and what animals represent in that. And I kind of just in general, I'm not too sure how to say it, but I kind of like seeing the aliveness of almost anything, right? Like just with, mm-hmm. and with symbolism in that in general. So it always fascinates me how something can be personified, like especially when it's in an animate object like this. And so I like seeing how mentioning and like displaying the age of a wreath that now he's seen his master's hair change to pristine snow and the children who used to touch me, sadly, they do not live here anymore. So yeah, I enjoy seeing how the life of a wreath would play out that's been in a family for a long time.
Absolutely. Great comment. And Naomi, how about you?
Yeah, you know, I agree with the comments before. You know, it's wonderful personification of a Christmas wreath. Something just, you know, so tender about this whole rite, the nostalgia about it. You know, you think of a Christmas wreath hanging on a door that has witnessed all those Christmas pasts and, you know, and looking forward to the Christmas futures. And you're almost living Christmas with that family through that Christmas wreath that is hanging on their home door. And, you know, it's wonderful. I have to say, you know, tonight we've had so much wonderful poems, different, unique, creative writes. And, wow, this is another one of them. And just amazing poetry tonight. So, wow. Bravo. Wonderful write.
Absolutely. And Jody, how about you?
Yeah, I totally agree with both of them. Yeah, it was definitely personified, you know, as a family Christmas wreath, which is definitely a perspective most people don't take on a holiday poem, which, so I thought that was very well done. You know, I enjoyed how, you know, kind of sat there in silent observation of his master aging in the process that he was going through. He gave it a really nostalgic tone to the poem, in the memory of the children. You know, I just thought he captured the essence of enduring connections that, you know, and all the cherished moments that we have through the holiday seasons. So he did a very good job of that. Well done.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I thought this was a great poem myself. I love the personification of the reef. The wreath, not the reef. A whole different subject. But I thought it was just a really sweet poem. There was a lot of love that ran through the lines of this. When the wreath spoke of the family and its master and what have you. And I thought it was just really wonderful. Great lines throughout. So thank you, Robert. Robert Lust, I'm so glad you entered the contest. It's a wonderful, wonderful write. And I can't believe it, we made it through the whole board.
All right.
God bless us and save us. We actually ran through some Christmas poetry. I'm amazing.
Well,
the dog is so happy.
Oh, my God.
He still wanted to read that in the dog voice.
Oh, my God. Yeah, just 1 minute after 12. Oh, you know, why not? Hey, Robbie, find that poem. What's that poem again? What is it called? Wait a minute. I got to get it. It's here.
Tree
We're going to make him read it because we can. It was by Oak
Blue.
34. Now I got to find it. There we go.
I put it in.
All right. Robbie, get that Bow Wow voice out.
Tree faded in. Please believe me, it's not my fault. The sad tree assault. I was outside peeing when tree went careening. Whew. Knocked over, splat by Ralphie the cat. Was chasing a squirrel around in the world. Up in the branches, they went without my consent. The tree went this way, then I came in from play. I'm totally ashamed, don't want to be blamed. It wasn't my fault, this bad tree assault.
Oh, my God. Well... Thank you, Robbie. I think you sounded good in your Bow Wow voice. I like it. Too funny. But I want to thank you guys for calling in. There you go.
Anytime.
Yeah.
There you go. It was a lot of fun. You guys, you know, helped out a lot getting some of the male voices. It's rough when, you know, I'm trying to give pieces out, and I know darn right well it's supposed to sound different. But so it was great that you guys called in and gave us some help. And, as always, wonderful company. Ladies, my twisted sisters, I'm going to try and untwist for a while. See if we can get through some more Christmas poetry. God, I think we have like four more shows.
Oh, my grace.
Yeah, well, I've divided them out and given them to all these different shows, so I have to kind of... I don't know. I'm going to pray I know where they're at. Pam and I know where they're at, right, Pam? We went through it today. She's not speaking to me. Well, to you too, Pam. Anyway, thanks, everybody. Have a wonderful night. And we will talk soon. Stay out of trouble.
Talk.
Good night, guys.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Good night.